Good morning, church family, all you early risers. Today's reading is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. If you want to do some research on your own concerning this, there is on YouTube a 4 or 5 minute video. They believe that they know where this took place. And you can look up the Cove of the Sower, okay? One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning, family. Just before we get to the prayer, my conviction du jour this week. I always have one. It's just I love how the Holy Spirit will hit me. One of my jobs, I work at a grocery store, and I take care of the night crew, and I also do some work myself. And I went out and I bought some of these wonderful professional knee pads, so I could stock shelves on the bottom shelf of the store. And as I was down there yesterday, that conviction came and said, "Adam, you're spending more time on your knees at the store than you are at home." So now with these wonderful knee pads, I have zero excuses. And it's amazing. You know, the Spirit just hits me from time to time. And Jerry says that God just wants equal time, Adam. And I believe that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Your Majesty, we just thank you for another day of life and breath that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for giving us this place, this sanctuary that we could worship you in, Lord. And we thank you for the time. We thank you for that. Know that you're in charge of everything, and for the time change and getting us up to be here, Lord, to worship and praise you. And Lord, as I tell the students at Sunday school, our primary purpose for being here is to glorify you, Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray that we're able to do this today. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've placed in front of us. We thank you for the ministries that you have here at the Phillipsburg Alliance Church. Lord, we thank you for the missionaries that you put in place both domestically and internationally. Lord, we just ask for your protection and care for them. Lord, give them discernment and wisdom that they could be effective and glorify your name. Father, we thank you for all of the ministry leaders here, for the people that say yes to continue to do the work of you here at Phillipsburg Alliance and around the area, Lord. And Father, we pray for the first responders, the law enforcement officers, emergency medical technicians, fire folks, everybody in that line of duty, Lord. We just pray for protection for them. Lord, and again, for safety, for discernment and wisdom on their part, that they know exactly what to do in every situation. And Father, we thank you for the pastors that you put into place, especially our lead pastor here, Lord. As Pastor Randy comes to preach the message that you have placed on his heart, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come and just surround him and engulf him, that he may be excited for you, that he may be able to preach without any disturbance, Lord, without any distractions. Everybody would be very laser focused on the words that will come from his mouth, Lord, and may those words be yours. And Lord, as we hear those words, let us put them into practice, not just for today on Sundays, Lord, but throughout the week and throughout the rest of the year. Father, we just pray for your protection and wisdom and guidance for our government officials, Lord. Lord, we pray for this nation. We pray that all of the decisions that are made, Lord, will be godly decisions pointed towards you. And Father, we just pray this all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Adam, I'm kind of convicted as well. If all it takes is knee pads to get this church on, Deb, we're going to order a whole bunch of knee pads, and then we're going to have people names and put them in pouches. This is an important message. The disciples fell asleep when Jesus said, "Would you watch with me?" And they fell asleep because they were exhausted from sorrow, and they missed an amazing time with Jesus, just watching with him because they fell asleep. Don't fall asleep. I know you're exhausted from sorrow. Maybe you've had that empathy with the losses this week, or maybe you're just tired because you got to sleep late last night. I'm going to ask that you muster everything you can, because this message is so important. It really is. From the beginning of this series of messages, we've been talking about being Jesus to the world and what that means, to be his ambassadors, to be that representative of the Lord Jesus. We've looked at Jesus' words where he says, "As the Father has sent me into the world, now I'm sending you," in the same way. And how Paul says that we are his ambassadors, as if God were making his appeal through us to the world. So we are that highest representative of the King of Kings. And we talked about what that means. We looked at being Christ to the world in this way. We looked at being Christ to the outcast. And we looked at the people who were hungry and thirsty and in prison and a stranger and those who were naked and the like, the outcast of society. We talked about being Jesus to the heartbroken. Do you remember that? And mourning with them and watching and remembering and the like. And we talked about last time about being Jesus through example of a servant, even to the people who would betray you or abandon you or disown you, even your enemies. How can we be Jesus in this world? But with all of that so far, the last 8 weeks we've been talking about all that, we didn't hit this one thing that is absolutely critical, and I want to talk about this today, that all of this really rests on this one thing. To be the highest representative of Jesus, to be that Jesus to the world, to have that power and authority, we need this one thing. So I want to talk to you today about that one critical thing, that without it, everything falls apart. All of this trying to be Jesus to the world will be fruitless. So if we don't follow this one thing, every attempt will fall short. So we're going to get into it after a word of prayer, and we'll see what God does. Amen? Let's pray. Loving Father, we've come here, some tired, some wide awake and ready to hear. But I pray that we would all be receptive right now to what you have to say to us. Father, we ask that you would use me as your instrument, that I really wouldn't be injecting my opinions and the like, but rather this would come straight from the throne of grace, that you would speak to me and through me, that only your message would be proclaimed. Lord, I pray that you would keep us from being distracted in any way, Lord, that you would keep us awake and alert in these few moments that we have left together. And Father, would you work a miracle from my lips to the hearer's ears that we would all hear exactly what you want us to hear. And having heard, Lord, help us to put these things into practice. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. On Thursday evening, we had worship practice here. And we had a pretty good compliment. And we had all of our stands and all of our microphones ready and all of the instruments were ready and all of our papers were out. The problem we had on Thursday evening is when we put up the words that you sang from today on the screen, there was just a big blue screen. And in the bottom corner, it said, no signal. Well, that's a problem. It's Thursday and there's no signal. And we couldn't read from what was on there because there was nothing on there. So we figured, okay, well, it must be just this and this and this. And so Wayne and Mike and Mike, the other Mike Flanagan and Gina were all kind of working their expertise and they're pushing all kinds of buttons and we're trying all kinds. And then it went that way all the way through. So we just practiced off of our seats, which was fine. We had a good practice. But the screen was still blue. And I'm thinking, Saturday night's coming. There's no scripture that's going to go up. There's no announcements. There's no music. Everybody's going to have to get handouts. That's going to take forever to do all those things, duplicate all those. And it was a mess. So the anxiety level starts to increase. You know what I'm saying? Because now it's 8:30 and there's no solution. We even called Don, who's all the way down in Tennessee, and disturbed him and said, Don, help us. And he said, you got to do this, 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 this. None of it worked. We're disconnecting every plug that there is, plugging it back in, making sure it's secure. We're thinking maybe something happened and putting in the JBLs over here that kind of jostled some wires, so maybe we're going to have to take the whole thing, the whole platform apart and see if we're going crazy. What is wrong? I said, guys, we were here till 10:30. At least three of us were here, Pastor Enrique and Wayne and myself, till 10:30. I said, guys, we haven't even prayed about this yet. Let's take a moment and pray. For some reason, there was a calm. Maybe I was just too tired, but there was a calm that started. And I said, Lord, you know, we need wisdom. We need direction. You got to tell us what on earth is wrong here. I wish I could just say all of a sudden, there the words are up on the screen, but that didn't happen. But we just started thinking and thinking and thinking. And there's a VGA adapter that has an HDMI connector, and we tried that and said, we know this part goes bad a lot. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we'll have to do some kind of substituting. What are we going to do? We've got another day to try to get this fixed. And then I said, well, let's go and see where this line leads to. And we went over to where some wiring was being done, and it goes into a relay box. The VGA card goes into and so I got on the one side and I said, wait a minute, does this have a power on-off switch? And they were in the back, and I was in the front. They said, no, but and then all of a sudden they said, wait a minute, this power strip here that is being obscured by all these other fat outlets, if you will, or the plugs, it's not on. Push that little button, powered on, boom, everything happened. Nothing worked because we were disconnected from the power source. You hear me? The same thing is what Jesus talks about in the passage we're going to be in today. It's the same thing with you and me. If we are disconnected, everything's going to fall apart. We can bring in all of our expertise. We can spend all of our time and all of our experience and all of our knowledge saying we know how to do this. But if we're disconnected, it is not going to work. So would you take your Bibles and hold them up in the air, if you will? And it's interesting. I thought, God, now I know why you put me through 5 hours of agony, so I'd have a good illustration for Sunday morning. I wish you'd just give me the illustration and forget the other. John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, they are in that upper room. Once again, you remember John spends 5 chapters, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, all on the conversation that happens at that Last Supper. Starting with verse 1 of chapter 15, kind of in the middle of John's writing here, he says this. Jesus is speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This is a very critical passage that Jesus is talking. And again, we talked last time that he knew that his time was short. He's got to get it all in, and he does a lot in this upper room. And this is so critical. He says, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. My Father is the gardener. You have to remain in me if you're going to bear any fruit. There's so much debate, in theological circles at least, maybe even within households, about what this passage means when he talks about the branches that don't bear fruit are cut off. And the other ones that are bearing fruit, he prunes it so that it becomes bushier and bushier. If I was a forestry major, and we know that you cut the apical meristem if you want the lateral shoots to be more full. If the thing's growing up this way, you cut those the top ones, and it gets bushier. It produces more. And that's what he's talking about. He prunes this so that more and more clusters happen. But he says that these branches that do not produce fruit are cut off. And some people have said, okay, these are the people, because later on he says it's like the people, the ones that wither and they're cut off and thrown into the fire. Some people say the people that don't bear fruit for the kingdom actually are those who lose their salvation and are thrown into the lake of fire. Please stay with the parable. Stay with what Jesus is saying. He's saying this is like that. You need to understand that when a person is not bearing fruit, they become useless in the kingdom. Useless. You say, wow, that's kind of harsh language. It's not as harsh as Jesus saying, I want to vomit you out of my mouth, right? Because Laodicea had become useless. Do you remember that, church? Say amen. Tell me you're still with me. All right. Laodicea, that starts with an L, right? Laodicea means people's rights. The city in Laodicea, Jesus said, you're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. Laodicea. He said, you're lukewarm, and so I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. He wasn't saying, as some people have interpreted it, that I wish that you were rather cold or hot, and I wish you'd rather be totally against me or hot, really on fire from me, but since you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. That's not what he's saying at all. Those three terms, as many of you know, are water terms, right? Hot, cold, lukewarm. And Colossae, sea, cold water, had cold springs 10 miles away that were soothing to the traveler. And then, of course, you had Hierapolis 10 miles in a different direction that had hot springs, also soothing to the traveler. Cold springs, hot springs, both useful. But Laodicea had an insipid water supply. Though they were wealthy, they had to import their water. And they had become, as a church, useless to God because they had become self-sufficient. They said, we don't need a thing. And they pushed God outside. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody lets me in, they had become useless. But they were still, listen to me, they were still part of the body of Christ. He says to the ecclesia, to the called out ones, to the church in Laodicea, those who belong to me, but you become useless. I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. If we are not producing fruit, we become worthless to the kingdom. But don't get discouraged, because I'm going to tell you how to bear much fruit. Are you with me, church? All right, let's keep moving on here. He says, remain in me. We're still in that first passage here, Chuck. He says, remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Again, the point in this passage is you're not going to be able to do it without Jesus. But he says here, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Well, what does it mean to remain in Christ? It's a nice phrase, but what does it mean? If I want to bear fruit for the kingdom, and you will, but if I want to bear fruit for the kingdom, I have to remain in Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean? The word in Greek is meno, very easy word, M-E-N-O. And it means to stay. It means to dwell. It means to abide. It means to be in house, if you will. It means to stay along. Now, if you want to put it this way, for those of you who are dog owners, I don't want to say cat owners because cats don't ever listen. But if you're a dog owner, you say to your dog, stay, right? Especially if they've gone to obedience school, stay. Stay right there, and the dog is supposed to stay. And then you say, okay, come. If you have a child and you say, hey, listen, I want you to stay by my side. We're going to the grocery store, the department store. We're going to Dorney Park, or we're going someplace where there's going to be a lot of people going into the city. I want you to stay right by my side, right here. And if you've got kids that wander or sheep that stray, you know what I'm talking about. You want them to stay. That's the word meno. Jesus says, I want you to remain in me. And if you remain in me, you're going to bear much fruit. I want you to stay by my side. We're going to unpack that in just a few moments. But that's where he's saying, you cannot bear fruit unless you are connected to me all the time. Stay right here. So let's go over to verse 5 in chapter 15. Still with me, church? All right. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you stay with me, stay right tight. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There's that phrase. We're going to say that together because it's the title of the message, and you got to get this one phrase if you leave with nothing else. Let's say it together. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What does that mean? That means apart from God, doesn't matter how much experience you have, how much church going you've had, how many Sunday school classes you've taught, how many messages you've preached, how many people around the world you've witnessed to. All your experience means absolutely nothing if you're disconnected from the vine. How many of you have ever worked a vineyard? Anybody in the room? Nobody? All right. Well, I did. When I say worked it, my great aunt had a vineyard in Hillsboro, and we went there all the time, and we worked that vineyard, and we pruned those branches that didn't, and we chopped them off, I should say. We didn't. So I kind of get an idea here, but anything that was disconnected, if we cut something off, it's going to die. And he says, apart from you, you can do nothing. You can't even begin to bear fruit. Let's go to verse 6. We need to keep moving here. He says, if you do not remain, if you don't stay next to me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in me, listen, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We're going to get back to the verse in a moment. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is God's heart. This is God's desire to make you like Christ. It's God's desire to have you bear much fruit. It glorifies him for us to be Jesus to the world and impact the hearts of many so that he moves in us. Now, I want to talk to you for a second here about taking a break. Some of you go through a rough spell. You go through a loss in your life. You had a man recently, in fact, last night he was here. He came up to me and said, boy, did I need this message. Boy, did I need this message. He said, if I didn't come today, I probably would stop coming to church. But I needed this. He had gone through a great loss. And we walked through this, the working up to the loss for quite some time. And he was shaking his fist at God. And we walked through it. And he's gotten so much stronger. But maybe you're saying, you know what? I just need a break from God. I need a break from church. I need a break from God's people. I need a break from reading the Bible. I need a break from prayer. I just need a break because you know what? He's not listening anyway. Nothing's going my way. Everything's falling apart. I just need to get away from it all for a while. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're disconnecting from the vine, and you're going to start to shrivel up as Jesus withers and it dies. You stay away from me. Now, he says it's like a branch that withers up and is thrown into the fire. He's not saying that's what your destiny is. He's talking about it becomes dead and useless. If you disconnect, never disconnect. He says, stay always by my side no matter what. Stay with me. Hang in there with me no matter what. Don't ever take a break. Spiritually, you shrivel up. I want to encourage you, if you've walked away from Jesus or you've taken your Christianity lightly, let me tell you this. If you return to him and you remain in him, I tell you, you're going to begin to bear fruit like you've never seen before. Get back in. Get back in. Now, I want to go back to verse 7 here for a moment, Chuck, if I can. It says here, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Extremely problematic verse if you take it out of context and let it stand alone. One man came up to me and said, how do you explain this one, Pastor? I've asked for this. It's something reasonable. And it says right here, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want is going to be done for you. That's not being done for me. I don't get it. It's a lie as far as I'm concerned, Pastor. I'm thinking, all right, let's walk through this. Because Jesus says in Luke 17, he says, that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you remember that verse? You can say to this mulberry tree, be transplanted and be and planted into the sea. He says in another place, if you have this much faith, then you can tell this mountain to be moved and the mountain will be moved. God, I've been asking you for this and it's a reasonable thing. And you said, whatever I ask, if I remain in you and my words remain in you. Why isn't this true? Let me tell you something. First of all, take it in the context. Everything around this verse, from the beginning part, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. I am the vine, you are the branches. It's through my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. All of that is enveloping this verse 7. So take it in the context of bearing fruit, because that's what the whole passage is about. We're talking about, God, I haven't won my mom, my dad, my kids to the Lord in a long time. I'm abiding you. I'm praying, Lord, would you help me bear fruit in my family or in my neighborhood or in my job or in my school or whatever. You're going to bear much fruit in that context. If you think that just because you're a follower of Christ, you can name it and claim stuff, get that out of your mind, because even Jesus himself didn't get his way sometimes. Father, if there's a way that this cup can pass from me, please, I don't want to go through this. But not my will, but yours be done. What happened? Jesus didn't get his will. The cup didn't pass. He had to go through that cup. He had to drink that cup. And how about the Apostle Paul? I begged the Lord 3 times to have this thorn removed from me. I cried out, Lord, please. How about Job? And Job says, I did absolutely nothing wrong. And he begged for these boils to be taken away. Take the context. He's saying in this, let me tell you something. If everybody got their way, no one would ever die, right? The earth would have 16 billion people on it. There would be no sicknesses ever. There would be, it would be heaven, if you will. There would be, everybody would have a boat, but they wouldn't be able to sail them because the oceans would be filled with boats. You know what it, when I'm saying, if you say, well, if I ask for something, I'm going to get it. That's not what the verse means. In the context, in the fruit-bearing scenario, ask whatever you want. It's to my Father's glory that he answers you and allows you to bear much fruit. You with me, church? Okay. And by the way, some people have come against this. I've heard preachers come against this. Don't say, if it be God's will, because that kind of gives God an out. It doesn't feel like it's faith. Well, if Lord is willing, then it'll happen. So don't do that. Just say it. Lord, do this. You're a child of God, and they bring in all kinds of crazy theology. James chapter 4 and verse 15 says, you don't even know what tomorrow holds. So don't be thinking you're going to be doing this and that, but say, if it's the Lord's will, then we'll do this or do that. So it's okay to say, Lord willing. We don't always get what we want because you know what? Sometimes our will doesn't match up with his. Can you say amen? You know, God says a verse in Isaiah, he says, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And as high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways and my thoughts are above yours. So if you think that your will is always going to match God's, listen to me. Your will's not, and you're going to become angry. You don't think I became angry when I prayed out to God for that little kid from Elizabeth, the 12-year-old boy who drowned in the lakefront, and I'm on the waterfront staff, and I watched him do compressions and the water coming out from his lungs, and he's there dead? You don't think I cried out to God, God, you said I could have anything that I wanted, and I'm praying for this little boy. I was so mad at God because I didn't get my way. I didn't get my will. But you know, sometimes I have to just say, God, I know my will doesn't always match up with yours, but I trust you as the sovereign. I'm going to keep trusting even though my world is collapsing around me. As the one songwriter says, it's not falling apart, it's falling into place, into God's design for you. But look at that verse a little differently from now on. All right, but he says, if you remain in me, what does it mean? What does it mean to remain in him? First of all, it means to engage the Lord constantly. Engage the Lord throughout your whole day. Engage him. He's right there, closer than your very breath. As Job says, the air in your nostrils, that's how close he is. Engage him. Read his word daily. Say daily. Don't you miss Pastor Mike sometimes when he used to say it and say it louder. Daily. Read the word daily. Why? Because it's our nourishment. Now, I'm not talking about doing it out of guilt. Okay, pastor said we're supposed to read the Bible every day, so I'm going to make a covenant with God that before I eat breakfast, I've done those before, before I eat breakfast, I'm going to feast on the Word. And that lasted for a while. Don't do it out of guilt, because before you know it, you're like, oh man, I forgot to read the Word, and I've already eaten my breakfast, I already eaten my lunch. In fact, dinner's on the table. I haven't done, oh my goodness, now it's nighttime. I haven't read the Word yet, and I'm supposed to read it every day. Oh, I got to read a verse. And you're going through, okay, there's a verse. Whew, guilt is gone, right? Have you not been there? All right. Don't do it out of guilt. Do it out of a desire to get to know the author better. This is a love letter to you. It gets an idea of how God is, how He works, and how He loves. And do it because you just want to draw closer to the one who loves you so passionately. Engage Him in prayer. Engage Him in worship. Engage Him in kingdom stuff. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited Him in. Engage Him. Stay near to Him all the time, and you'll know His will, and you will bear much fruit. I'm going to do one last illustration. It's a long one. It's the passage that Bob read for us. Would you turn to Luke chapter 5? You say, how does catching fish have anything to do with the vine and the branches? Everything. Thank you, Robert, for reading this. I'm going to read it once again. Stay with me, and then I'm going to unpack it for just a couple minutes. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around Him. There's so many people who want to hear what He has to say, and they were listening to the Word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and He asked him to put out a little from the shore so that he could speak better. And then He sat down, and He taught the people from the boat. Now, when He had finished speaking, He said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night, and we haven't caught a single fish. We haven't caught anything. But because You say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came, and they filled both boats so full that they both began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees, and he said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishers of men, as we used to sing, fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, and they left everything, and they followed Him. There's a lot in this that could be preached, but I want to take a couple moments just to show you how this fits in the vine and the branches. Jesus preaches. He's done preaching. It's kind of probably the morning. The guys have been out all night long, and they're cleaning their nets, so it's probably kind of toward the morning time. And the people had gathered, and Jesus got done preaching whatever He was doing. And He says, okay, guys, let's go out some more. They've been out all night long, not just fishing hard, but they've been out all night, and they probably want to go home. They're tired. And Jesus says, let's go on out a little deeper for a catch. Now, understand something. Jesus is a carpenter. He's a carpenter's son. He's a carpenter. I'm a carpenter. These guys are professional fishermen. Bob is a professional fisherman as far as I'm concerned. We go fishing every year in May, and we'll be doing it again. And we'll see the same miracle happen that happens in here, and I'll explain that in just a moment. When I fish like a carpenter. When Bob fishes, he fishes like a fisherman. And so Jesus, a carpenter, talks to the fishermen and says, let's go out for a catch. And they said, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. We are professionals. We have applied all of our expertise all night long, all of our experience, and we have thrown the nets out, and we pulled them back in, and we've thrown them out, and we've pulled them back in, and we've thrown them out. And that's not an easy thing, even when they're empty. And that we're exhausted. Our biceps, our triceps, our arms are killing us from the our legs. Everything is worn out, and we've not caught a single thing, Lord Jesus. Nothing. We know what we're doing. You don't. We've done it all night long. But because you asked us to, we'll do it. You kind of see that tone in there? Are you with me, church? So they go out, and they put the nets in, and boom! Their nets are so full, so quick, that the nets start to break. And these nets are strong. They're meant to carry a lot of fish. And they start filling up the one boat, and the other guys come over with their boat, and they start filling up that boat. So many fish, they've never seen this before, so many fish that these massive boats start to sink. That many fish, and they're overwhelmed at what just happened because not one fish. You know what happened? There were two miracles that day. Number one, there was a miracle that went all night long, where Jesus was speaking, at least through his mind, to all the fish, stay away from those nets, right? That's what God says to me when I'm on the river, or says to the fish, stay away from Randy's hook. Go over to Bob's hook, but stay away from Randy's hook. That's what he says to the fish. And Jesus spoke to the fish that night. And you think, that's ridiculous, really? Because he says to the wind and the waves, stop it. And the disciples inside the boat were more afraid of Jesus than they were of the boat capsizing because they said, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? This is an awesome person we're in front of. That's why Peter gets on his knees. But Jesus spoke to the fish all night long. Stay away from the net. They're there. Stay away from the net. And then at his command, okay, fish, get in the net. And all of a sudden they just came and drove. Like they couldn't go fast enough so that they start to cause the nets to break. What an incredible story. And Jesus says to Peter, don't be afraid, Peter. Falls on his knees, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishers of men. What does that mean? He says, if you stay with me, you abide with me, you'll bear much fruit when it comes to people. The miracle you saw with the fish is what you're going to see with the people. But you got to do it my way. You got to go out when I tell you to go out. You got to put the net down when I tell you to put the net down. You got to follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and what you saw with the fish, you're going to see with people. And I'm here to tell you, church, you may have never won anyone to Christ. And if that's the case, I'm telling you today, that's going to change. Get close to the, because it's to the Father's glory that we bear much fruit. Now, what that means, that word much to him, I don't know. But I do know that Jesus says the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. That means that every harvester that goes out there is going to get a lot, more than they could possibly handle. And I believe that if you abide with Christ and his words abide in you, as you start to be Jesus, but being plugged in to the power source, things are going to happen. And I believe you will bear much fruit. Why? Because it's to the Father's glory. Not, and there's no caveat here that says, unless you're a certain personality type. Or if you're an introvert, it doesn't include you. No, he says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you're going to bear much fruit to my Father's glory. And I believe that you're going to be fishers of men. If you haven't yet. But you have to stay plugged in. You can't take a break from the power source. As soon as you do, it doesn't matter how long you've been in Sunday school or how long you've been coming to church, you're going to be fruitless and empty if you stay away from God. Now, I'm not talking about going through the motions. I was praying just yesterday. I said, Lord, I feel, because I had the message already in me. I said, Lord, so many times I just feel like I'm going through the motions. I know how to do church. I know how to preach because you've gifted me. But sometimes I just feel empty. Do you ever feel that way, church? Raise your hand. All right. Sometimes you feel like going, I said, God, would you plug me in again? I need to stay tighter. I need to feel you. I need to know that the power is from you and not just my own talent or gifts. I need to know it's coming from you. Otherwise, it's going to be empty. Let me just close with these. Here's the gist of it all. Christ has said, as the Father has sent me into the world, so I'm sending you. Paul said it this way, you are Christ's ambassadors. Every one of us. It's not an option. As if God were making his appeal through you. So we can try to do all of this being Jesus to the heartbroken, and being Jesus to the outcast, and being Jesus as a servant, and being Jesus to our community and our families. We can try to do that on our own, and we will be discouraged, we will be frustrated, and we will be empty, and before you know it, we say, we quit. This is not my gifting. I'm not going to do this. Or we can stay close to Jesus, the vine, and watch him do amazing things through us to the Father's glory. It's not your responsibility to bear fruit. It's your responsibility to stay connected. And he will bear fruit through you to his glory. Amen? But you got to stay connected. And I dare say many of us are going through the motions. We're not in the Word, and this is not a guilt thing, but how can you stay empowered if you've drifted? Are you with me? Stay connected. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that though you said, apart from me, you can do nothing, you also said that with me, all things are possible. How can we possibly even entertain the thought of disconnecting from you when you say, if we do that, we can do nothing, but if we stay with you, all things are possible. Lord, that should drive us into your arms. That should drive us to your word that we might get to know you better. That ought to drive us to the house of the Lord with all these fruits and nuts that come to worship you, Lord. All these people that are weird and wacky and different from me. I want to come because they love you, and I want to come and worship you, and I want to come and feel your presence because you say you inhabit the praises of your people. I need that. Otherwise, I'm empty. Lord, I pray for each person here that if they've drifted, Lord, that you'd re-engage with them, that you'd power them on again. And Father, if there's anything in my flesh that somehow has crept into this time, may it be quickly forgotten. May only the things of you remain, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you, church, for your time. I'm going to ask you to stand for the closing benediction. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, now and forevermore. Amen.